it's interesting that Job understood his trial, and though he understood that it came, it was part of God's plan for his life. Would you find your place this morning in Psalms chapter 23? Familiar passage, but it'd be good for us to look at it. Regardless of the position, the circumstance we are in at the moment, God is still in control. This is the idea that David had in mind. We love Psalms 23. I think we do. I think for the most part, most Christians like the 23rd Psalm. It's what we find most on people's walls or on, just printed up in different places. But notice what the psalmist says here in Psalms chapter 23. And we love the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't we love those promises? Amen? We certainly do. But this very familiar passage of Scripture, you know what else it goes on to say and imply to us? It implies to us that there's some difficulty in life, doesn't it? Yeah. A lot of people want to take Psalms 23 and imply that the Christian life is a bed of roses. Those same people haven't read Psalms 23. What's the very next verse say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Does that sound pretty comfortable? Does that sound pretty happy? Does that sound like that's where you're going to lay down and have a picnic or take your nap or have a rest? No, it's implying that that same shepherd who was good to us when the sun is shining, who is still leading us by the still waters and the clear streams and all of those beautiful things that are described in verse 2 and verse 3, it's implying to us that the purpose and the subject of the 23rd Psalm, the shepherd, is still with us in those dark valleys. Because, ready or not, in life there are dark valleys. We would take a poll around this room, and I don't believe a one of us in our natural, logical thinking minds would say, I like dark valleys, would we? No, and I don't say that either. But you know what? There's one thing I can be thankful for about dark valleys, is that I am never alone. There is one thing that you and I can be thankful for in our dark valleys, and that's that you are never alone. Look. He says, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. That sounds like a pretty prideful statement. But you know why he said, I will fear no evil? What's the very next statement say? Well, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. The reason for that he could have no fear wasn't based on who David was, the warrior, the hunter, the giant killer, the general, the soldier, the king. It wasn't because of that. It was because God was with him. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen to what he goes even further. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And in that same statement where he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, he says, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Why? Depends on who your shepherd is. Then he says at the end, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what I think Joseph learned in his prison experience? Just from what we read in Genesis chapter 39, 21, 22, and 23, I think we could say, Joseph would say something like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How do we know he could have said that? Well, it's because it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph learned Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He made whatever I do to prosper. Surely goodness and mercy, Joseph learned, followed him all the days of his life, and he understood who his shepherd was. Do you understand tonight, this morning, that faithfulness to God doesn't exempt us from trouble, but faithfulness to God does promise some wonderful things. It promises his presence. For Joseph, there was the prison of injustice. There was the prison of disappointment. Well, those dreams, he surely had moments where he thought those dreams that he dreamed had certainly changed. A French psychiatrist who survived the Nazi death camps, he discovered that the imprisoned person who no longer had a goal, who could no longer find meaning and purpose in life, was most unlikely to survive. And this psychiatrist determined this. He made this statement. Everything can be taken away from a man but one thing. He said it's the last of human freedoms, and that is this: to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way, the way in which a man accepts his fate and all the suffering it entails, the way in which he takes up his cross, give him ample opportunity, even in the most difficult circumstances, to add deeper meaning to his life. We've already talked a lot about Joseph's character, and that was the one thing that Joseph could bring with him to Egypt. That was the one thing that he could keep with him in the prison. That was the one thing that he was determined to guard when approached by Potiphar's wife. He chose his attitude, how he was going to respond. He chose, even in the prison of disappointment, he chose to trust God even when the future looks clouded. When he was sold into slavery by his brothers, when he was locked in the prison house, it must have seemed as though all of his dreams from just years before had begun slipping away. He had dreamed that God was going to make something special out of his life, but here he was in a prison. It must have seemed like God had forgotten. Surely he felt all alone and deserted and defeated by the problems he faced. And prisons of life can have a way of making us feel that way. When they mount up, it's easy to feel like we've been forgotten. We were all alone. When we're thrown into one of life's prisons, and it's easy to feel overlooked, forsaken. The devil would use those difficult times in your life to whisper his lies in your ear. If God really cared about you, why would you be going through this valley? God does care about you, and he's going through that valley with you. And he's got a plan for that now. The devil might whisper this lie to you. You trusted God, and what did it get you? What did it get you? I'll remind you, as we read in Psalms chapter 23 this morning, that others may have forgotten about you, but our shepherd hasn't. God knows where we are. Joseph learned to trust God even in a clouded future, what seemed clouded to him. Listen, Joseph learned about trusting God and submitting when we don't like where we are. Have you ever been in one of those prison experiences and you just want it out anywhere else but in that situation, dealing with that person or this need or this bill or this vehicle or this whatever it was? A good reminder is the life of Elijah, who went through some pretty discouraging times, pretty high mountaintop experiences, literally on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and God speaking and God sending fire and God responding to his prayer. And then the very next moment, Elijah is sitting by a brook ready to die. God knew where Elijah was. God encouraged him. God continued to use him for his glory. And Elijah would go on to even do greater things for the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves in the prison of injustice or a prison of disappointment. I'd remind us this morning, God knows where we're at. He knows about your prison. The hardest part in these prison experiences, in this prison of disappointment when life seems to not go the way we are, or the way we thought, or the way we want, is learning to submit when we don't like where we are. This morning, not only do we learn about the prison of injustice and the prison of disappointment, but there was some provision in Joseph's prison. God had already provided some things. And I began asking questions as I got to thinking about how it could have possibly turned out well for Joseph in this prison. And we see that, we'll learn that Joseph learned some valuable lessons that couldn't have been learned under different circumstances. And as I began, I asked myself this question: are these prison experiences really necessary? Are they really necessary? I mean, we'd like to just have an easier life, right? But listen to this. I'd love to take credit, but I can't. One of the greatest blessings of going through the trials of life is the truth that we learn about God in those trials. In fact, the trials of life teach us lessons about God that cannot be learned any other way. Think about this, the writer continues. He said, Daniel couldn't have learned about God's power over the lions unless he was first cast into the lion's den. The three Hebrews couldn't have learned that God was able to deliver them through the fire until they'd been cast into the fire. The disciples would never have known that Jesus could still the storm until they found themselves in the midst of it. Mary and Martha and Lazarus would never have understood Jesus is the resurrection and the life, get this, unless Lazarus had died. And then he says the woman with the issue of blood couldn't have experienced healing without the suffering and the cost of her illness. And the list could go on and on, but the truth is that we learn more about God in the prison experiences of life, perhaps sometimes, than we could have any other way. And so then as I thought about that question, are they really necessary? What can we learn then from our prison experiences? What can we learn then? When we go through them, we learn that God is with us. We learn that He's able to sustain us. We have to learn this truth. We have to learn that those prison experiences in our life aren't designed to stop us, but they are designed to strengthen us. And I mentioned this months ago in a message that we preached that there must have been times in Joseph's life where he asked why, but he couldn't dwell on the why. He couldn't. Because when you ask why, that's where a lot of doubt, when you dwell on the why questions, why is this happening, why is God doing, you can begin to doubt and have some get discouraged, and you can begin to doubt God. I believe that Joseph at times perhaps questioned and asked God why, but in the end, Joseph had to trust the God that knew why. That is not easy to do, because Joseph's prison experience would be years long. You've probably been through a prison type experience, whether it's in your family or whether it's in your finances, or maybe it's with a loved one or a coworker or some other situation, and it was a years long experience, and you perhaps asked why. Well, I think one of the lessons we learned from Joseph is he no doubt, I'm sure, had those same questions, but Joseph was completely invested and completely trusting in the God who knew why. Joseph is going to teach us some lessons here this morning that are going to be hard for you and I to learn this morning. But perhaps there'll be things that we can learn on that dark morning, during that dark valley. You know, one of the things that Joseph teaches us about trusting God is about the provisions that God made for him in his prison. Is he could trust God because he could remember God's promises. He could remember God's promises. Notice even in the prison experience in verse 21, Joseph was faithful. It was just another place for Joseph to serve. Here was a man of integrity who was going to remain faithful to the Lord despite the circumstances, despite how far he was from home, despite the fact that he was all around the worldly people and worldly things. It didn't excuse him from being a Christian, from being a believer, from being a child of God. Just because no one would have found out, Joseph wasn't okay with disobeying God and sinning against God. It's not a coincidence that at the beginning of Joseph's story, we read about his dreams. The dream was God's promise to Joseph. There was a dream about the sheaves, and then there was the dream about the stars. And in both of those dreams, it was God telling Joseph that he was going to elevate him. And in the back of his mind and his heart, there was the memory of what God had promised him. And Joseph knew that no matter what happened, God would keep his word. And rather than dwelling on the difficulties and the circumstances and the problems that were all around him, Joseph could hold tightly to the promises of God. Some might say this morning, for one reason or another, you just don't know what I'm facing. I can't serve God because I have this or that going on. I'm reminded of the statement and the example from Joseph's life is that each of us serves God to the degree with which we choose to. God has us exactly where we are this morning, today, for our good, for His glory. We can either honor God by our life, honor God by living a life of obedience in spite of our circumstances, or we can dishonor Him by allowing our trials to hinder our service. Joseph could remember God's promise. Joseph could rely on God's providence. It's hard to say, especially when looking at Joseph's life, but we understand that nothing in life just happens. It's not coincidence. We serve a God, I believe we serve a God according to Scripture that is in absolute control of everything. And listen, God is either in absolute control of the events of your life or mine, or He isn't. But the Bible teaches that He is. He is. Joseph was thrown into a pit, forsaken by his family, thrown into prison and forgotten. And neither time was Joseph thrown into a pit or thrown into prison. Neither time was he being punished for doing what was wrong. No, he was. One was because his brothers were jealous. The other one was because his master's wife got angry. Joseph lost his liberty, his freedom, because he wouldn't compromise his purity. He wouldn't corrupt his integrity. He wouldn't cast away his dignity. He wasn't suffering for doing wrong, but right. Listen, just because things don't make sense to me and just because things don't make sense to you doesn't mean they don't make sense to God. Do you know, I've heard it said, you've probably heard it said, do you know that nothing's ever taken God by surprise? He's never seen something happen and been like, oh, I didn't expect that. Crazy. Like, you know, back in creation, you know, they want to talk about the Big Bang. God didn't speak and say, let there be light. Oh, there was light. What do you know? Never took God by surprise. You know, one of a godly example of, in Scripture, one of the most godly examples in Scripture, a faithful man, a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of who could be trusted, a man who worked hard, a man who loved God, named Joseph. It didn't take God by surprise when Joseph ended up in prison. You know, God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly why he was there. And God was using, you know, this is what one guy said it this way, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of me. He said, when all Joseph could think about was the prison, all God could think about was the palace. Huh? Yeah. He remembered God's promises. He relied on his providence. He trusted in God's presence. You got to do that. This was a years-long prison. The Bible tells us God was with Joseph. Deep in that pit, deep in that prison, God hadn't forgotten him. God hasn't forsaken him. He learned the lessons in those pit times and prison times to be able to flourish one day in a leadership position. The Lord used these terrible, difficult experiences to prepare him. What about it? He had to remember God's promise. He had to rely on His providence, rest in His presence, and then respond with patience. If there's something I think that people have a tendency to hang, that we as humans have a tendency to hang on to, it's our hurts. And so later, some 20 years later, when Joseph is standing before his brothers, that was his chance, right? Get even. Crush them. Crush them. Get even. He could have even gotten his revenge on Potiphar's wife if he'd wanted to. It was interesting as I was reading about him working for Potiphar, him being such a high-ranking official, he could have come in contact and met a lot of people that would one day work for him as he was in Potiphar's house. And God was preparing this young man. We never hear him holding a grudge. We never hear him speaking of taking revenge, though he could have. You know what he did? You know what Joseph did? Here's the key. You know what Joseph did? No matter where he was, you know what Joseph did? Here's the key. He just kept living for the Lord. He just kept loving God. He just kept walking with God. He just kept building and trusting and standing on an abiding relationship where he was connected to the vine, where he was close to the Savior, where he was unmistakably aware of God's presence and God's provision and God's plan for his life. His commitment wasn't based on his circumstances. I wonder what it would take. Maybe we would ask ourselves in our own hearts this morning, what would it take for you to quit? What would it take for you to quit on God? Whether it's to quit the church or to quit praising God or to quit giving. One commentator asked this question, is your holiness dependent on your health? Is your joy dependent on your job? Is your praise dependent on your prosperity? I wonder what it would take. As we go through these seasons, God's training us. God's using these difficult prison experiences that we might grow in greater ways. Listen, I mentioned it before. One man said, when all Joseph could see was prison, God could see the palace. That's why Joseph could say in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. Sometimes faithfulness to God sets us on a course where circumstances may not seem to get better. It's then that we learn to trust God's promises. We learn to rely on his presence. It means we learn to rely on the promises that God has made. And we respond the way that God would have us. It's tempting to only see Joseph's heroic character and the achievements that he accomplished. But God doesn't want us to miss the largely silent and desperate years that Joseph endured. Imagine the pain of the betrayal by his brothers, and imagine the separation from his father and his family, the horror of slavery, of seduction, false accusation by Potiphar's wife, and the desperation he felt as he sat in prison and no doubt felt as if his youth was fleeting away as he toiled there in prison. I'll remind us this morning, God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly what he had planned for him, and God had a plan for it. One man said, our circumstances, however dismal or successful, are not our stories in. They're not our stories in. God has a plan. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And I don't know what prison experience you're in this morning, but I know that you may not be in one now, but you might be in one soon. I know that where there is help and there is hope in those prison experiences. I know where there is safety and surety in those prison experiences. It's in our Heavenly Father. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we mentioned at the beginning of the message this morning, perhaps you're in that prison of sin because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know anything different but the bonds of sin and the chains of your sins. I know the one who can set you free this morning. His name is Jesus, and I'd love to introduce you to him this morning if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, he's got all the answers. Yes, he does. He's got all the answers for us this morning. Guest, lost individual this morning, seeking, hurting, desperate. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. I'd love to introduce you to the Redeemer. church member, child of God, going through a difficult time, I know the one who's got the answers there too, who offers peace and hope and assurance, confidence this morning. Heavenly Father, would you be with our invitation? As you've spoken to our hearts, let may we respond in an act of worship this morning, in obedience. And may we trust you for our present, for our future, and for our circumstances. Lord, help us to be a people that know you and seek your face on a regular basis, that despite our circumstances, though it might not be easy, it might not be difficult, there might be days where there's not a smile on our face, we can deep down in our heart of hearts, we can deep down in our decision making areas of our mind and our heart and our life know that you're in control. You love us. You've not forsaken us. And you've not forgotten us. Help us to trust you, serve you, seek you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.